Good afternoon, everyone. Let me first give you an overview of the coming days. Tomorrow I am here in Wellington. On Wednesday I will travel to Dunedin, where I will be meeting with the local Muslim community. On Thursday I will head to Christchurch to meet with overseas delegations ahead of the National Remembrance Service on Friday, which obviously I will be attending. I want to update you, though, on the government's next steps in response to the Christchurch terrorist attack and our plans to keep New Zealand safe and to ensure that this never happens again. Last week, on the 18th of March, Cabinet agreed to establish an inquiry into the Christchurch mosque's terror attack. Today, Cabinet agreed the inquiry will be a royal commission. While New Zealanders and Muslim communities around the world are both grieving and showing compassion for one another, they are also quite rightly asking questions on how this terror attack was able to happen here. This includes questions around the accessibility of semi-automatic weapons, the role social media has played generally, and the focus of the intelligence and security services. There are questions I too have asked and of course want answers to as well. In short, the inquiry will look at what could have or should have been done to prevent the attack. It will inquire into the individual and his activities before the terrorist attack, including, a look at agencies. It will look at the actions of the SIS, the GCSB, police, customs, immigration, and any other relevant government departments or agencies. In the next 2 weeks, the precise terms of reference will be finalised, including the lead for the Royal Commission and its duration. What I can say today is that there will be a focus on whether our intelligence community was concentrating its resources appropriately and whether there were any reports that could or should have been alerted them to this attack. It is important that no stone is left unturned to get to the bottom of how this act of terrorism occurred and what, if any, opportunities we had to stop it are included. In particular, as I've said many times before, I want recommendations on how any such attack in the future can be stopped. I do want to say that royal commissions are usually reserved for matters of the gravest public importance, and it is clearly the appropriate form of inquiry for this instance. I am pleased also to share with you today, though, that in the coming week, at the end of the week on Sunday, I will be travelling to China. I will be in Beijing for meetings with President Xi Jinping and Premier Li Keqiang. I will also be formally opening the New Zealand Embassy. This was a visit that was planned some weeks ago, but given the terrorist attacks in Christchurch, I have cut it back to 1 day of meetings. This is an important visit. New Zealand places a high priority on our relationship with China. Our businesses value the relationships they have, and I do look forward to our ongoing engagement. I expect discussions will include a broad range of bilateral, regional, and international issues of common interest, including on upgrading our free trade agreement, protecting and promoting a rules-based international trading system, and combating climate change. Through the terrorist attack in Christchurch, we've been served with a tragic reminder that New Zealand is no more immune than other members of our global community to the problem and indeed divisions facing humanity. China is an important regional and global actor with whom we must work on challenges facing the global community and those critical to the security and prosperity of our region. I have with me today the Deputy Prime Minister to answer any questions on our international response to the Christchurch terrorist attacks and indeed his visit to Turkey and Indonesia, or indeed any other questions on foreign policy matters.
Prime Minister, on China, was it a difficult balancing act for you to decide where to go or not?
Certainly for me, the immediate response, of course, given that we already had this trip in train and planned, was immediately that it did need to be scaled back. It was intended to be a longer visit, including a business delegation, and under the circumstances that just didn't seem appropriate. And I do want to acknowledge that our hosts, China, have been incredibly accommodating of those needs.
Which other ministers were scheduled to deal with you?
Sorry?
Which other ministers were scheduled to deal with you in advance?
Oh, look, I had scheduled for other ministers to join me. It was going to be an appropriately high-level delegation, particularly given that we would have a business delegation with us. My expectation now, given that David Parker does have an impending visit in April, will be that he will use that opportunity to lead a business delegation.
Prime Minister, is it
appropriate
to leave New Zealand at all?
That is why I have trimmed it back to a one-day visit. So essentially I travel on Sunday, I have a one-day visit on Monday, I'm back in New Zealand on Tuesday. That is a decision I made to scale it right back from what had been a visit involving three cities to just one day, because it didn't feel appropriate for me to be any longer at this point.
And
they've been incredibly accommodating, acknowledging the circumstances, and we're of course very grateful for that. And again, as I say, literally 24 hours and travelling with as little time away as is possible.
Prime Minister, on the Royal Commission, you say it will focus on the intelligence agencies. Will it also look at the police?
As I did explicitly mention that they are one of the agencies that we're including. We will be looking at events leading up to the attack rather than the response. The immediate emergency and first responders' response to the attack. And that's work that I think needs to be done, but we'll do that separately. But as I've said, the SIS, the GCSB, police, customs, immigration, any other relevant government agencies, we are still finalising the terms of reference, but Cabinet's been clear about the level of which they intend this inquiry to be. Are our surveillance laws at the moment too soft? Look, one of the questions that we need to answer is whether or not we could or should have known more. New Zealand is not a surveillance state, and it's been a very clear directive, I think, from members of the public. But questions, of course, need to be answered around whether or not this was the activities of an individual that we could or should have known about. The agencies themselves are welcoming independent oversight and investigation into that very question. And look, you're absolutely right. We've got to weigh in up here the seriousness of the attack and the need for people to have confidence of its independence, with also the desire for there to be answers in a timely way. One way that we can try and ensure that that happens is from the way that the terms of reference are crafted, and also the scale of the group of inquirers. And so those are all things we're factoring in. We want it to be independent. We want to be at the highest level, but we do also want it to be timely.
How soon would you like it to be able to report back?
I've had some early indications, but I want to reserve giving some timelines until we've been able to finalise those terms of reference. But I absolutely accept that people want answers and they don't want to be left waiting a long time. But we equally have to allow the time for the inquiry to do the job properly. So we're weighing all of that up.
On social media, Twitter in particular, there's still auto-playing videos of the attack being shared. Have you reached out to Twitter and other social platforms in recent days, and what are you expecting them to do immediately?
We've had proactive contact. I couldn't give you explicit information around the detail of that from individual companies, but we have been receiving information, particularly from Facebook, around the efforts that they've made to have the video removed. It is fair to say that we, of course, see it as unacceptable that this continues to be available on social media platforms. That's widely known amongst those social media leadership, our views on that matter. There is work still here to be done. This afternoon, I will join other ministers in meeting with Brad Smith, the Microsoft Chief Legal Officer, also involved with the Global Internet Forum to Counter Terrorism. That will be the beginning of many conversations, which New Zealand intends to very much be a part of. Look, I think it's obvious that in this case, I mean, we've seen not only the use of live streaming that goes against even the community standards that Facebook themselves set. So my question generally across all of these platforms is what can what can we put in place or have assurances around ensuring that this doesn't happen again? Those are rightly the questions we should be asking.
Mr. Peters, can you though, has been to ask people to report the video. I mean, I reported some yesterday.
Yes.
So that's acceptable.
Look, from I can't answer specifically from Twitter. I would say no, I don't think that's an effective way of managing what is incredibly disturbing content. Certainly from other providers, we've had assurance that they are proactively looking to remove it. So it was some days ago, but at that time, Facebook were reporting 1.5 million times that video had been removed, and not all of that was automated. But again, I think I'm sure... In fact, I would be surprised if there wasn't consensus among those platforms that the proliferation of that video is just unacceptable. We just want them to be more proactive in its removal.
Mr. Peters, about his meeting with President Erdogan, were you disappointed afterwards that he went out in a very short space of time and showed the video of the shooting?
Well, the facts are that the showing after that meeting was an abbreviated version where his narrative had utterly changed. So that whereas before he left, his narrative had been condemnatory of New Zealand and Australia all together, that all changed dramatically with his statement of the Washington Post and the speech he made at the OIC praising New Zealand's behavior, and in particular the example set by the Prime Minister. It could not have been a bigger change in respect to the question of the tape. We had already spoken to Turkish embassy in New Zealand before I even left about our concern about that. And so my focus was to ensure the safety of New Zealand's traffic in Turkey in the future, particularly with Anzac Day coming up. So in that sense, I'm delighted with the response and the assurance he gave me personally.
Was it a combative conversation?
No. But I did point out to him that any view that we were a white supremacist country should be put to rest, and I gave him the reasons why, and he accepted it, gave me an assurance that our young people in particular would be as safe as they always have been for decades, and it's just, he then expressed his desire to come to New Zealand.
What specific assurances did you give to the President that New Zealand isn't a white supremacist nation?
Well, I said there are no cabinet in the whole world as ethnically diverse as the New Zealand cabinet. And we want evidence of that, I'm happy to show.
And I think also some of the feedback that I think both the Deputy Prime Minister and myself have received in calls from the international community has actually not just been the response from politicians, but actually the response of the New Zealand public. Those leaders have seen the images of New Zealanders turning out in their thousands at vigils. They've seen the images of flowers laid at the gates of mosque, the spontaneous gathering of students in support of those affected. They have seen all of those images internationally, and that has sent a message around New Zealanders' grief alongside the members of the Muslim community.
Prime Minister, is it acceptable for President Erdogan to show any part of this live stream video in any context at all?
We've already shared our view on that. That has gone directly to their representatives here in New Zealand, as the Deputy Prime Minister has said. We continue to maintain absolutely the same view on the video, whether it's social media providers, whether it's other countries. We have a clear view on that. But also one of the things we were seeking assurance around was, of course, the safety of New Zealanders in Turkey, particularly leading up to Gallipoli commemorations.
What is your
clear view? That video should not be shared. It is harmful content. And that's been our clear and stated position, and that was stated clearly before the Deputy Prime Minister even left.
Was it a mistake not to share that directly with the President face to face?
The President already knew it. Mm. The President had already, before I began to talk to him, has shifted his dialogue. That's proven by the Washington Post article, not one, but two. And so, I look at the big picture, 57 Islamic countries where things could go so wrong. And there never has been such a meeting of the OIC making this request of a country where there has been such universal praise for the country in question. You had to be there to believe it. And when we showed them the video, a number of them were weeping and sobbing at the demonstration of non-Muslim New Zealand towards the non-Muslim victims in this case. So it was a dramatic event in that sense, and I was told by countless ministers that they've never seen any meeting of that type the NEOIC since they were members of it.
Is it disappointing that you had to travel to Turkey in the first place to deal with this?
Well, I was asked by the Turks, by Turkish delegation here. When they first arrived to come, and I spoke to the Prime Minister, it was clear to us that we had no option but to turn up and set the record straight. I took Jenny Selesi, the Minister, sitting with me as well, to show that we were serious about a cabinet and a government or a national response. And she'll confirm my impression. We were there.
I think, I agree with the judgment of the Deputy Prime Minister that us being present for that meeting was incredibly important. To voice our view on what had happened on New Zealand soil, the work, of course, that we need to continue to do, but the view of New Zealanders in the wake of the terrorist attack here. And so I think it was important that we were present, and I'm very pleased that Deputy Prime Minister suggested that we be there.
It's the Peters, while his rhetoric may have changed, his actions in showing the video didn't.
Well, yes, they did, because he's not
showing.
Well,
showed it after
but he's not showing the same length of it. There are blurred parts of it now where New Zealand has been taken out. You can't deny that it's mentioned as back in Christchurch. But thereafter, his personal rhetoric around the video has utterly changed. There's no mention of New Zealand anymore.
Are you saying it's okay that he's showing the video at
all? I'm not showing that at all. We made that very clear before I left.
But he's still showing excerpts of the video.
Yes, but not the same length as it was. And the narrative that he had alongside of it has dramatically changed where my country or our country is concerned.
Have there been subsequent requests from the Erdogan not to play any video?
I don't think we've been in direct contact since the Deputy Prime Minister has returned.
I just got home.
Yeah. And of course, we've only just seen that that's continued. But look, keeping in mind, of course, we've been clear on the video, absolutely. Before the visit, after the visit, we maintain absolutely the same position. But there has been a definitive difference in the statements that have been made around New Zealand's role in this terrorist attack, the perception of New Zealand around the attack, and also the safety of New Zealanders. We needed to gain assurances around the ongoing safety of New Zealanders travelling in Turkey, and that's been received.
Prime Minister, some people are saying, some free speech advocates are saying that banning the manifesto by the Chief Censor's action is a step too far. Do you have a view on it?
Ultimately, decisions for the Chief Censor. But, if I were to have an opinion, I would say that it was the right decision.
Prime Minister, do you plan to raise the persecution of the Uyghur Muslims when you're in China?
I tend to give general topics before I go into meetings, and then answer more specific questions when I come out of them. So happy to engage at that level again. It's fair to say I have raised the issue before, and I have raised human rights issues before.
So what about the issue plan to in the current climate?
Haven't sat down and gone through my intent over bilateral, but given I've raised it before, that should give you an indication.
And what about foreign relations being such an issue for us here in New Zealand?
Well, I don't think that they've come directly from Premier Lee or the President, so...
I know, but I understand that China isn't too happy with the talk in New Zealand about banning foreign relations.
Again, as I say, I tend to work through exactly the position that I take in the lead-up to the coming days. I'm happy to answer detailed questions after I've sat down in those bilaterals. At the moment, though, I've given some very broad indications, but almost always there's some discussion around human rights.
Are you hoping to extend the upgrade to the free trade deal? Are you hoping to get something concrete out of that, or will there not be time given it's only one day?
Look, it's been part of the last time I met with Premier Lee. It was a subject of conversation. Of course, we take those opportunities to have conversations about our economic and trading relationships, and I expect it will be no different. Obviously, the substantive work is always done by our officials, but we do tend to touch on the progress that we're making in those bilaterals.
Mr. Peters, the Turkish Vice President and Foreign Minister were on the ground in Christchurch within 48 hours of the attack. Was there any consultation with the New Zealand government from the Turks before they flew here, because they were using up a lot of police resources just 2 days after the attack on the ground in Christchurch?
Yes, it was. They said they were coming.
Was it appropriate for them to be here so soon?
Well, look, that's for the Turkish government to decide, as it would be for any country to decide. Some have come later, and the immediacy of the event, especially in a Muslim circumstance, would justify that.
Prime Minister, do you think that the NZSA has been too focused on Islamic extremism?
Look, as I've said repeatedly, of course, that is an area where they highlighted to me in the aftermath of this situation the work that they had been doing over the last 9 months, given what they had seen occurring at a global level. But they themselves welcome the opportunity of a Royal Commission to look more deeply at what could or should have been known in the case of the Christchurch mosque attacks.
The Human Rights Foundation has put out a report in which a number of Muslims said they felt unfairly targeted by those agencies. Have you got that sense from them being around the Muslim community over the last week or so?
Yeah, and actually, you know, to be frank, the conversations I've had with the Muslim community hasn't necessarily, but I want to acknowledge that they are usually, sometimes those have been in the public space, so that may not have been the appropriate place for them to raise concerns. So I don't want to take that as being indicative necessarily. What I do want to say, though, is that the way that the NZSIS conducts itself is very much governed by a protocol and law. They are required to follow policy statements that are publicly available. If individuals feel that they have breached that, they should absolutely raise that with the Inspector General. That is an appropriate way to make sure that the work that has been undertaken by the SOS is done appropriately. There is no need to wait for that. If any member of the community has concerns, they should directly raise those issues.
What are commissions requiring you to take?
I wouldn't want to see a situation where we were talking years. Again, I do want to reserve the ability, once we've set the terms of reference, to look at what is a reasonable expectation of delivery. But I absolutely hear the expectation from the New Zealand public that this is delivered independently, that it's thorough, but that it's also timely.
What are the top two or three questions you'd like answered?
I've already outlined some of them today, but obviously the questions that have been raised by the public around our intelligence services, whether they were adequately looking into these areas or could have, should have known of the activities of the individual who undertook the terrorist attack, those obviously will be included in the Royal Commission.
Would you
ever address claims in the media that you might have got journalized? This is amazing. I've got a full list of everybody that spoke, where they came from, the order they spoke. It's comprehensive, and I've still got it. And if someone suggested that you can be a deep contemplation and know what's going on at the same time, which I was, I thought it was a very, very serious meeting, and that's why I've kept a record of it.
Prime Minister, would you ever allow a program, a mass surveillance program, like Project Speargun in New Zealand?
Look, I've had that program raised, well, I've heard it raised in the public domain. I don't know whether or not that's been raised because there's an assumption that that somehow would have led to more knowledge around what led up to the terrorist attack in Christchurch. That actually may not have been the case because my understanding of Project Speargun is that it was a cybersecurity initiative rather than maybe what is being implied.
What is any update on the gun register or gun buyback program?
Yeah, so today Cabinet did discuss some of the detail around the legislation that is proposed to be debated in the next session of Parliament. There was a general conversation around the additional work that needs to be done. Obviously, we prioritised the legislation banning assault rifles and military-style semi-automatics. We have asked for extra work to be done, and police have recommended additional work be done around issues of licensing, around the issue in question of a register. We've not yet made final decisions there because we're still awaiting additional advice from police. Obviously, that will sit in tandem to the legislation, and we expect that the details of that will be worked through to sit alongside the final legislation. Not where there hasn't been direct involvement from agencies that are working on other areas. So tax, no, it's my expectation those timelines will remain the same. Mental health, there has been a draw on agencies there, so That is an area where we may yet see a small change in timetables, but yet to see that finally.
Do you expect any changes to budget announcements in that case?
No.
Prime Minister, in the UK, a group has reported a 500% increase in Islamophobic hate crimes following Christchurch. Have you had any briefings that would suggest there has been an uptick here? Or?
No, I've seen the reporting. And of course, the plea that I would make is anyone who has been the subject of any threats, please report that to police. If you've seen any information that you think our intelligence services should know, please report it. They are taking them seriously. They are following them up. I think it's devastating to know that when a community has been the subject of a direct attack like this, that they would then be subject to threats. I think that's utterly despicable.
Can I reach out to, have you instructed any government agency to reach out to you on things like ACAN, which the Washington Post was reporting looked like a terrorist breach website in the wake of the Christchurch attack?
Yeah, and we are, as a cabinet, having a conversation around meaningful change in the area of social media. So I am expecting further advice in that area. As I've said before, I'm not interested in a PR exercise. I want to ensure that what we seek is meaningful change, and there are a range of different areas where I think we should be doing a bit of exploratory work. It's not just for New Zealand though, we do need a global push because these are global platforms.
The Foreign Minister said in Turkey that the alleged gunman would spend the rest of his life in New Zealand at jail. Does this mean you've ruled out extraditing the alleged gunman?
No, final decisions have been made in that regard, but I can absolutely say that he will face the New Zealand justice system.
Prime Minister, will the government look into the penalty after this terrorist attack?
No. Okay, thank you, everyone. Thank you.